Today, I want to share with you a message of hope. We all need a little bit of hope sometimes, don't we? You know, we live in a world that's very divided, where there is a lot of tragedy, a lot of pain, and a lot of reasons to feel anxious and stressed out. How many of you can relate that sometimes when you look around, you're like, wow. I saw two hands of the same person go up. I'm with you. In essence, during Jesus' short time here on earth, his mission was to offer hope. Hope for those who were desperate. And the hope he offered was not just surface level hope, but the hope he offered was he pointed people to God the Father. A Father who loves and cares for his children. A Father who longs for relationship with us. One of the names that Jesus is often referred to is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And Jesus was referred to as Emmanuel because Jesus stepped down from heaven and he entered the lives of people. Literally, he was God with us. He walked among people. He experienced everything that people experienced. Joy, pain, loss, sorrow, stress, betrayal, all of it. He experienced it. And then as a final act of hope for the world, even though at the time it didn't seem like hope, but he offered himself as a sacrifice so that all people could experience the forgiveness and reconciliation to a loving Father. And though Jesus did this all 2,000 years ago, the good news is he rose again and he is alive. Amen. Today, Amen. He is alive. And he continues to be God with us. So for those of you here today who need some hope, I want to offer you this. God is near. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're brokenhearted this morning, if you're feeling crushed in spirit, whatever those sources of feeling brokenhearted are or feeling crushed about, then I want you to know that God is near. He's close to you. Let's talk about that. How many of you would say that sometimes you need a little bit of comfort? How many of you would say that you find that comfort in a lot of different things, like ice cream or chocolate, depending on your... How many of you would find comfort in being distracted? Like you make yourself busy. Unfortunately, some people find it in alcohol and drugs. Gambling. And still others find it in shopping. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? I feel a little down today. I'm going to see what I can find on Amazon or Target. common source of comfort that people want is they want to have a loved one or a close friend nearby. And the good news of Jesus is that he is near. He wants to be that loved one, and he wants to be that friend that is close by when you need comfort. There's this guy in the Bible named Paul. Let me tell you about Paul. He writes this: 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I don't think he should get on a boat anymore. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. In danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. If any human being understood suffering, it was Paul. He was mistreated over and over again. He was shipwrecked. All because he loved Jesus. He talked about Jesus wherever he went, and people got angry with him, and they threatened him because they disagreed with him. Does that sound familiar today? He was abused, threatened, plotted against. At one point, he was stoned and left for dead. And in spite of all those sufferings, Paul also wrote this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." So even though he had been mistreated, he had been abused, he had been put in prison, he was shipped halfway across the known world at the time, he was still able to say, "My God is compassionate, and my God gives me comfort." These are more than just empty words, Paul's saying. Sometimes we don't want to admit when we're in pain, and we'll be like, "Yeah, no, I'm okay." Have you ever done that to somebody?
Yes.
I have. But these were words spoken from Paul's experience. Paul knew God the Father and had experienced his compassion and his comfort. Philippians 4:7. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is peace that isn't shaken by circumstances. This is kind of hard to describe if you've never experienced it. But I am so confident in our God, in his love, and in his compassion, and in his faithfulness, that in moments of fear and anxiety, I can cry out to him, and his closeness gives me and can give you a peace that just doesn't make sense. When you look at the situations all around us, sometimes we're like, "How am I going to deal with that?" But God gives peace that goes beyond our circumstances. I may not have the answers to how I'm going to deal with that, but God will bring me through. And because of knowing that and of having experienced that, I can have peace. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, sometimes the way God brings us comfort is through being a part of fellow believers in a family of God. God sometimes uses other people. God created each one of us with a purpose. This scripture says he has good works for each of us to do. Have you ever had a rough day? Okay, you're following me, good. And at just the right moment, a friend calls. Or you bump into somebody. Or you get a card in the mail. And it just brings you comfort. Sometimes that's how God is at work. Because he's given us mission. And he's given us purpose to do good works. And sometimes when I'm close to God and you're having a hard time, God may drop you in my heart and on my mind to pray for you, to call you, to see how you're doing. Hey, I haven't heard from them for a while. Let me check in on them. And I know you're probably wondering, okay, so what does that have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with this. God loves you enough. He cares about you enough and whatever you're going through that there are times where he will send someone else to come and be a physical Jesus to you. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We don't always see God working. I'll admit that. There are times when we're going through difficult things and we don't see what God is up to. But for those who love God, God is working to bring about something good of our difficulty and our pain. It's usually not easy to see how God's going to take a situation we're in and bring joy out of it and bring healing out of it. But often, after the fact, when we look back, we're like, hey, I do see God in that. And knowing that, when we face tough situations now, we can hold on to the promise that God is at work, even if I don't see it, because God works all things for good for those who love him. At other times, God's closeness means that God steps in directly and intervenes. Matthew 6:13. You may not recognize this verse just out of context, but let me give you the context. This is the Lord's Prayer. And near the end of the Lord's Prayer, it says this: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Even if you're not familiar with the Bible, there are certain passages that everyone kind of recognizes a little bit. The Lord's Prayer is one of those things. Either you've been at a funeral where they've prayed it or a public event where maybe they've prayed it. It was a prayer that Jesus used as a template to teach the disciples how to pray. The disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so he said, okay, our Father who art in heaven. And he ends it with this phrase, but deliver us from the evil one. In this prayer, Jesus said we should pray for God the Father to deliver us. God doesn't always directly deliver us from our struggles, from evil experiences, but at times he does. And Jesus himself encourages us to ask for his deliverance. So how exactly does God deliver us? Well, I want to tell you, sometimes it's through a miracle of healing. James 5, 14 through 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. You know, one of the fears and struggles that many, many people have is surrounded around physical sickness, disease, and pain. If you've ever experienced chronic pain, it can be debilitating, can't it? I think about the dreaded cancer diagnosis. If you ever want to know how a physical illness can give you fear, have a doctor say to you, cancer. I know of many, many people who avoid going to the doctor like they avoid the plague. Especially sometimes us guys. Because we're afraid to hear that we're sick. It's okay for us to not feel well. I'll tough it out. But to hear someone actually say, no, you're sick, or you need surgery, or we have to do this thing, you have this kind of disease, can really induce a lot of fear in people. So we'd rather not know and be sick than know and be sick. But James here, in this verse that I just read, says that there is a hope for those who face sickness. We can ask God for healing. And he is able to do it. In fact, even here in our church, we've seen that happen. We prayed for a son-in-law diagnosed with cancer. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. And he was healed. And the doctors had to test and double test just to double check. I had a friend who faced bypassed heart surgery. She was probably in her late 60s, early 70s at the time. We prayed for her. And the artery in her heart literally grew its own bypass. Right around that blockage. She didn't have to have surgery ever for it. And she ended up dying of old age. If you need a healing touch from God today, at the end of the service, we're going to have an opportunity for prayer. Because I believe one of the ways that God delivers us and gives us hope and that he demonstrates he is near is he heals. And you know what? He doesn't just heal us physically. He heals us emotionally. So much of today's challenges aren't just physical, aren't just sickness, but they're painful emotions, stress, anxiety, depression, pressures, loneliness. How many of you can relate to one of those things? I'm going to read a verse I already read, but I'm going to give you the couple verses before it. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Now listen, ready? The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And this is the verse I already read. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anxiety and depression is one of the growing epidemics in the U.S. Antidepressant medicine, anti-anxiety medicine, it's like prescribed at an all-time high, even down to kids who are in middle school. With so many tensions and pressures and unknowns, anxiety can be a common experience. But God can heal us. He can take our anxieties and worries. And I love the phrase in this verse, the Lord is near. Now, that's not the only emotional thing God can heal us from. Some of us, in fact, one of the first verses I said was that I read from Psalms talked about the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Jesus himself read this. He was in a synagogue meeting, and he read it to the people, and he said, today in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled. Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted carries the meaning of those who have suffered emotionally, who have bared crushing weights, and who are carrying around grief. You don't have to raise your hands for this one, but how many of you can say there have been times, or even right now, where you feel brokenhearted? Jesus is the healer of emotional trauma. He is the healer of emotional pain. Things that we have all been carrying around for years, baggage, worries, wounds. Jesus wants to come. He can come, and he does come to heal those emotional pains. Another way that God is near us and that he shows us comfort, that he is close, is he walks with us through our suffering. During his physical life here on earth, Jesus faced a form of many of the struggles that we have. Let's read this. Then one of the 12, the one who called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Let's read the rest of Judas's story. Matthew 26, 47 through 49. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. That had to have been such an emotionally painful moment for Jesus. Someone that he had traveled with for 3 years, over 3 years, someone who had eaten with him, someone that Jesus had shown compassion, who had called him, had seen Jesus' character, his miracles. Judas knew. And through an act that should have been an act of brotherly love, a holy kiss, it actually was an act of betrayal. There is a song that a band that I used to love, a Christian band called Petra. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Petra. You know, those of you who are music buffs. But they sang a song. And part of the song is, it must have felt like a dagger. It must have felt just like Judas's kiss. You see, Jesus has experienced betrayal. Many of us here today carry around the wounds of betrayal. Jesus understands. And he can walk with you through that. Look at some of the other things Jesus faced in his life. John 19, 1 through 3. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." And they slapped him in the face. Some of us have experienced abuse, and you carry that wound around. Maybe abuse from when you were little, maybe abuse from a spouse, from a friend, from a parent. Jesus was abused. He understands, and he can walk with you through that pain. John 7, 3 through 5. Jesus' brother said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. Some of you have felt hurt by your family, and you need hope. Even Jesus can relate to that. His mother and father understood Jesus' divine nature, his divine origin, but his brothers didn't. How many of you know that sometimes our brothers, our older siblings, can be some of the sources of our greatest frustration until you have kids? They rejected Jesus in his divinity, and they didn't believe until his resurrection. Then they were like, "Oh, I guess he was telling the truth." So even his own brothers didn't respect him. How many of you have ever felt betrayed by a family member or rejected by a family member? When we read the account of Jesus' crucifixion and his death, the only family member recorded at his crucifixion was his mother. You don't read about his brothers and sisters being there. And Jesus, as the oldest son, hanging on the cross, says to John, "Take care of my mother." You know why? Because his family members weren't there for him to give the responsibility to. Can you imagine being completely abandoned by your own family? Some of you can. Now, there are many more examples of Jesus' suffering. And in every way that I can think of, he has faced sufferings similar to ours. And that means he can walk with us through our struggles. Maybe this morning you feel like nobody understands. Maybe you feel like, man, I am having to do this all on my own. I want you to know you don't have to. Jesus understands, and he wants to walk with you. Jesus experienced the full range of human experiences. And so he can walk with us through all of our experiences. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. This is a promise that he will walk with you. It clearly says he goes with you, he won't forsake you, and he won't leave you. Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know who that friend is? That friend is Jesus. We just talked about how Jesus' own brothers betrayed him. But Jesus sticks closer to us than a brother. One more thought for you. In all those moments where we need hope, I want you to know God remains faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. What that means is the very character and nature of God is that he is faithful. Even when we are far from faithful. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we stumble and fall. Sometimes, man, we just get it wrong. But he remains faithful. Whatever pain you're going through, whatever circumstances you face, maybe you feel like I have failed. How on earth could I go to God? Well, even if we are faithless, he is faithful. One more verse for you. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. The God who has promised to be with us, to comfort us, to deliver us, to be near, he is faithful. And you can hold on to that. Not a lot of things in this world we can hold on to. God's promise, his faithfulness, that you can hold unswervingly tight to. You ever hear the phrase white-knuckling it? Where you just hold on for dear life because you don't know how you're going to do it? Well, guess what? Let's white-knuckle onto Jesus. Let's hold on to him with all that we have. Because he's near. And he will walk with us. He will comfort us. He will heal us. Whatever you need hope for today, Jesus can meet you. He is near. And not only is he near, he is here today with us. He will not, nor has he already abandoned you. He's not left you to struggle through pain and life alone. I want to offer you an opportunity this morning to meet and experience the God who is near. I said that we would take some opportunity to pray, and we're going to do that in just a minute. If you are struggling with physical sickness, pain, I invite you to come, and we'll pray for you. If you've been experiencing emotional pain, turmoil, feeling overwhelmed, I invite you to come and we will pray for you. Whether it be physical healing, emotional healing, whether you need peace, comfort, God is close and he is near and he wants to reveal himself to you. For those who don't know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, maybe you're here this morning and you've never heard talk of like a friendship with Jesus. I want to show you today how you can do that. It's called the ABCs. It's real easy. Though God His love for us is constant and unconditional. Our sin, the wrong things we have done, separate us from Him. But Jesus made a way for us to receive God's grace and forgiveness. He gave us Jesus. And Jesus is a gift from God to all who accept Him. John 3, 16 and 17, another verse that is commonly quoted and well known, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That save the world includes you. I would like to invite you all today to experience the hope that comes from a restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Today could be the day that you enter into a friendship with God who is near to you and have your sins and your wrongs forgiven. No more shame, no more guilt. And to have a sense of peace that surpasses all the turmoils of this world. A, admit that you have sinned. We've all sinned. If you've ever lied, if you've ever lusted, if you've ever taken something that wasn't yours, we've all sinned. There's none of us, we're all in the same boat. There's none of us that are perfect. There was only one who was perfect, and that was Jesus. And that's why he died for us, because he was perfect when we were not. B, believe on Jesus. That means believing that he died on a cross and rose again, and that through him dying on the cross, Jesus took the initiative. Like it was all on him. He provided a way that we can be reconciled back to God. The punishment that should be ours, Jesus took. So now we don't have to face that punishment because it was laid on Jesus for us. And C, confess Christ publicly. Confess means you profess. Sometimes we think confess only means saying the wrong things you've done, but confess also means that we say, this is what I believe. And I believe Jesus. We need to speak about our belief in God's Son. I'm not asking you to stand up in the middle of the grocery store on a box of cereal and a megaphone. What I'm saying is that if we believe in Jesus, our life should follow that belief. Faith is not a secret thing to be kept hidden or to be ashamed of. Faith is something that if he has truly saved you and come into your life and you've experienced joy, we should want to talk about it. I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to ask that those of you who would like to know Jesus for yourself this morning, that you would repeat it. And I'll be honest, there's nothing magical about the prayer, okay? It's just a tool to help you to put your desire to know God into words. What matters is the God that you're praying to. And if you believe in your heart and you pray these things, then God sees that. This morning, if you would like to begin a friendship with God, I'm going to ask you to pray this with me. You can close your eyes and bow your heads. I'm going to say a prayer and I'll give you an opportunity to repeat it. Heavenly Father, I know that I've sinned against you. I realize that the penalty of my sin is separation from you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, he died so I could have life and be reconciled to you. God, I confess my sins and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died and rose again so that I could be forgiven. Here and now, I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, I would ask that you please come and see me, and I can talk with you and help you answer any questions you have. I also said that we were going to pray for those who wanted prayer for sick, for sicknesses, those who wanted to pray for healing of emotions, for changing of circumstances, and now is that opportunity. If you need prayer this morning, I invite you to come.